Please open with me 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in the heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I pray that thy word will be a balm to our soul. Please, Lord, expose in us the message that you intend to convey to us tonight, that we might be humbled, to be teachable, and to embrace thy truths, that will lead us, Lord, to be always repentant of our sin and lead a godly and righteous life. Help us, Lord, to trust you in giving us, Lord, to an understanding through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, hide me behind thy cross. Help me, Lord, not to be seen as the one speaking, but may you speak to us. May we see you speaking to us and fill us with that glorious hope and see the glory in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when Peter wrote this epistle, the attitudes of toward Christians in the long reign of the Roman Empire were not at all favorable. We all know that history, because they would not worship the emperor as a god or enter into a sinful pagan practices. Christians were looked upon with suspicion and without due regard and respect for them. In addition, Nero had blamed them for burning Rome, although he himself had perpetrated this. Some historians have said that, although he blamed the Christians so that he can create a continuous hatred upon them, and persecution, continuous persecution upon them, so that anger and hatred toward the Christians was at its peak at that point. So Peter wrote to encourage them and all believers to live out their faith amidst persecution, just as Jesus had done when he suffered unjustly. Peter mentioned that in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's see that quickly. Verse 21 to 23. For even unto Hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Verse 23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now, this is the reaction that Peter wants to encourage the Christians at that time, and to ourselves as well, that our Lord Jesus must be our role model in reacting to the struggles, pains, and sorrows, and unending persecution that we face as believers, even in our present age. He reminded them, Peter reminded them, that despite the sufferings they might endure in this life, God will reward them with an inheritance that is eternally secure, because it is reserved in heaven for them. Now, in verse 4, that word reserved, let's go back to 1 Peter. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That should actually enable us to be encouraged, because although we heard about our great inheritance in Christ, we are co-heirs with Christ with his great inheritance, which is incorruptible. That what does this word reserved in heaven for you means? Well, Peter indicates an inheritance that is already exists. It's not something that will be rebuilt, but it's already exists in Christ. That's our inheritance. In Christ himself, all our inheritance are available. And is presently protected by him, and will continually be protected for our behalf. So the place of its protection, as you can see, is in heaven, reserved in heaven for you, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal, according to Matthew 6:20, if you're going to look at that later, and where nothing unclean and no one can, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is narrated to us in Revelation 21, verse 27. There is no other safer place than heaven. So no wonder even all the prophets of God, and even all the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, even Apostle Paul. And he said, I would like to repeat, I always repeat this, is that he said, finally, in his total heaven-bound mission in life, before he was executed, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Well, we must come to at some point in our lives, in our meditation of his word and in our feeding of his word, that should actually be our portion in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just our Savior, but we can say with Paul, without any doubt at all, regardless of the persecution, the trials, the pain and sorrows and slander that is being made against us. And this is not something new for the Christians. Even centuries, by centuries, during the time of the Roman Empire, Christians already suffered because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a price to pay in being a Christian. We should dismiss in our minds that, as a lot of Christians say, that that when you become a Christian, everything will be like a rose garden. In other words, everything will be provided. There's no difficulty, there's no trials. That's not the type of Christianity the Bible is actually saying. But in fact, our reading indicates the something else, isn't it? Isn't that what the world look at it? And we have a safer place, which is in heaven. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ indicates and assures the disciples, I have a place, prepared a place for you. Which, if it were not so, if it is not true, I will not tell it to you. So that is an indication that our eternal abode, our eternal home, our eternal citizenship is in heaven. And I think that will actually should be in the behind always in our memory. That should actually encourage us not to be let down in times of persecution and trials. So not only is our inheritance protected for us by our Lord Jesus Christ, but also we are protected for it. That's what Peter meant when he said, it's reserved for you in verse 4. Who are reserved for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We can quote that in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So our inheritance is not only secure, but it's already there. It's not only to be as a surprise, but we already have available in Christ. That's why we need to actually take advantage of the great inheritance that we have right now in the Lord Jesus Christ. But all the more that is reserved for us is something that He will reveal to us, like what heaven looks like and what our fellow brothers and sisters look like and what is happening in heaven look like. So it's a great expectation to see and to anticipate what is it like to be in heaven. So the omnipotent sovereign power of God will continually protect you, every one of us, until His work is fully accomplished in our individual lives. Then He will grant you glorification, the fullness of the salvation for which He redeemed you. We should not fear the loss of our inheritance. Instead, we should rejoice in the protection of our gracious God. Let's thank God for His protection and for the assurance of our inheritance in Christ. 1 Peter 1:6, we are also told about the rejoicing that we should have in Christ, wherein you greatly rejoice. This is, let's read it in verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. I think I should link here verse 7 as well, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, what does that mean to us? It is actually contemplating, meditating, enriching one's thought about this great inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we contemplate them, when we claim them as our very own, not just a future promise, but we can claim them now as ours. That should actually help us to rejoice. With joy that transcends, in other words, encourage us to move beyond the trials, the persecutions, the difficulties and troubles, and all the things that is said about us that is not true, any temporal circumstances that is afflicting us, whether sickness as well, or unending struggles, well, we should these trials actually should actually not put us down, although sometimes it's easy to say that, but when we contemplate our great inheritance in Christ, then that is a source of encouragement to avoid being discouraged and not to let down ourselves in the face of these persecutions. So contemplating our eternal inheritance encourages us to move beyond our problems and not to be let down by them, and not to show to the world as if we're miserable, as if we cannot move beyond our problems. Although a lot of Christians like that, when they experience these persecutions, these troubles, this sickness, and various struggles and difficulties, could be financial problems as well, and problems of relationship at home and with other Christians, especially the things about that talks about oneself. These are actually deepening wounds that sometimes isolate us in our walk with God and from our fellowship with our fellow believers. So our trials should actually be an opportunity to move us forward in our Christian faith and not to allow them to dampen our hope and to stop us moving normal Christian life. The psalmist said, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Psalm 33, verse 1. "My lips will greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed." Psalm 71, verse 23. So, joy in these verses, experienced by the psalmist or the writer, is the special privilege of every believer, regardless of his or her circumstances. You might suffer manifold or many heartaches and persecutions from your faith in Christ, but amidst the severest test of our trials, which we as a church now are experiencing and individually affecting us, God wants you to know profound joy despite these trials. That's why in 1 Peter 4, verse 13, even to the degree that you share your sufferings of Christ, we are encouraged to rejoice, in chapter 4, verse 13 of 1 Peter. But rejoice, it says, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Well, what is the glory of Christ? Well, the glory of Christ is manifested in the abundance of his grace. That grace is sufficient, his grace is sufficient to meet all our needs on a daily basis. That the glory of Christ abounds in his great inheritance, his eternal inheritance that are ours in him. 1 Peter, in our reading, verses 6 to 9, identifies five elements of your Christian life that should actually bring joy amidst our trials and persecution. Let's read those verses in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. It says, "Wherein you shall greatly rejoice, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trials of faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, yet love, ye love, in whom, though know ye see him not, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So the first is our protected inheritance that is reserved for us in heaven. In verse 6, look at that. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season it need be you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So we should rejoice in this great inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Other elements include a proven faith, that is in verse 7, a promised honor, and a personal fellowship, and a present deliverance that is ours in Christ Jesus, which we will explore maybe in my future talk as well, in some weeks to come. But for our meditation tonight, we shall actually talk about the proven faith or the tested faith that brings joy and confidence. Let's go back to that. We greatly rejoice because though for a season we are being tried or tested, if need be, you are in evidence through manifold temptations. We are facing a lot of temptations to react ungodly or unseemingly to barriers to these persecutions. So that when we are tried, when our faith is tried in verse 7, being much more precious than gold, than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, though this unending persecution and trials of our faith should prove something, that we are not allowing ourselves to be discouraged or to be let down or to stop moving in our going on in our normal Christian life, but to continue to serve the Lord and to commit ourselves unto Him. Because this perseverance of our faith bring honor and praise and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Although some of us fear that trials and persecutions can only stop us in the joy in our fellowship with God in spite of the trouble, but because of the trouble itself transcends our trials. As the Apostle Paul says, I quoted a while ago, that for he said, I can do all things through Christ who always strengthened me. And in the end, he said, for me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So that is because it's easy to lose one's joy if you doubt the promises of God, or if we doubt the security of our salvation. But when your faith has been tested, as verse 7 continue to echo before us, and proven to be genuine, doubts will disappear, and you will have joy and assurance that God promised us. Of course, that does not come just like that, but it must come through confession of our sin, for lack of joy, and also calling unto God to help us in times of this unending persecution. So it does not come automatically, although God knows our needs, but we must call unto Him in prayer. So that is our response to these trials and persecution that we face. Every trial we face is designed to test and perfect our faith. And God carefully controls the different events or the different situations that God allows in these difficulties and trials and persecutions. So that when God allows this, He's trying to accomplish that purpose He had, to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ. To have that joy, to have that eternal joy reserved for us in heaven. Verse 6 specifies they are temporary, necessary, distressing, and multi-purpose, but they should never diminish your joy. You see that verse? Though for a season we are in heaviness because of manifold temptations, the trial of our faith, connected in verse 7, brings honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's continue to assure ourselves that God is in control in allowing the events that we face in our trials and different troubles that we face as a Christians. No matter how distressing they are, no matter how they are being, we are being surrounded day by day, they seem to never end, but they continue to face us on a daily basis. But the only way we could live and move on is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and submit to Him. That's why Paul was able to say, I can do all things through Christ, who always strengthened me. So Peter used this analogy of the goldsmith to illustrate the purging process that produces a proven faith or a tested faith. That is in verse 7. So the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So pure gold is being tested if they are true. You can see a fake gold if it is, it will separate the not genuine parts, but the genuine part will remain, will be separated when they are tested. So just like our faith, when it is tested by fire, no matter, fire means when we seem that we cannot cope anymore, that we cannot face this anymore, and that allow us to surrender sometimes. But in our persistence in seeking the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, when we constantly talk to Him and ask His help, then He will enable us to overcome these difficulties. 1 Corinthians 10:13 encourage us to do that. Let's move and check that verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So, as you can see, temptations are there all the time. Every day, we face this spiritual battle. And to surrender to our trials this spiritual battle will actually cost us a lot. That will deprive us of the joy that is being mentioned by the Apostle Peter here. But when we overcome, even though we are tested by fire, then remembering this verse, that God will not allow us to suffer these persecutions, these temptations, beyond what we are able to experience. Because He knows the frame of our mind, the frame of our hearts, and how we respond to them. We are easily discouraged, we are easily inflamed with anger. God is there for us to help us. But He wants us to call unto Him as well. Call unto me, Jeremiah 33 said, and I'll show you great and mighty things. Jeremiah 33. I hope I have quoted that properly. Jeremiah 33:3. This was a verse that was uttered by an elderly lady, and that's why it's impressed in my mind so deeply, that when she read her Bible, she came one in the Bible study, she's shouting, "I found a medicine," and because at that time she lacks medicine, and her medicine for one drink, she actually expanded into 7 days. That's why when she was shouting upon the medicine, they thought she's crazy. But the medicine was actually a balm to everybody when they opened their Bible, which actually says, "Call unto me," in 33 verse 3, "and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." This is God's word is a mighty balm or mighty encouragement for us, such as this verse as well. So let's continue to assure ourselves that when we call unto God, He will show us that thing that we have not heard before, that we have not seen before, in the way that God will answer that prayer. So that is an encouragement for me tonight as well. So the trial of our faith, being more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So every trial are designed not to discourage us, not to bring us down or to crush us, but to accomplish God's purpose. Pastor Mark already mentioned that verse before, but it is something that every day, though our body, outer body, is perishing, but we are being transformed inwardly, day by day, as a result of calling to God when we are faced with such kind of trial. I'm sure you know the verse I'm talking about. Though our outward body, including our minds, is perishing, but because of these great purposes of God that He allows us to experience, He is transforming us. We are being formed. We are being shaped into the kind of godly person that God wants us to be, intended us to be. So the fire in verse 7 symbolizes the trials, and the gold that is being used as an illustration, even gold is being tested for their genuineness and fire. But the gold symbolizes here our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The genuine faith, that is a proven and tested faith. The fire, just as the refiner's fire burns away the dross and leaves only pure gold, so God purges us through trials in order to rebuild the purity of our faith. To me, this is an appropriate analogy, because gold was the most precious materials and the standard for all monetary transactions, even today. But as valuable gold may seem to be, or as gold may be valuable in the international market to back up one's currency, proven faith or tested faith in verse 7 of chapter 1 is infinitely more precious. Proven faith is more precious than gold, because gold is temporal and perishable. Proven faith is eternal, because that brings glory and honor to the fearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's remember that as an encouragement. We may lose everything, like Job did experience, but when he trusted God, he never complained. God granted him blessings, a double blessings that he had never experienced before. So, in conclusion, if we are currently going through the time of testing, let us ask God for the grace and wisdom to pass the test of our trials. When we are slandered, we should encourage ourselves that God is for us and that he cares for us. With David, we can say in Psalm 7, verse 9 to 11. Psalm 7, verse 9 to 11. And we will close on this. Like David, in verses 9 to 11 of Psalm 7, let's claim it, because we can also experience what David did. That, this is his cry. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense, this is what he's trying to impress upon us, how we overcame. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in the heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. In fact, if you go back to that verses 3 to 5 of Psalm 7, in the humility of King David, he is praying to God to bring fire upon him if there is any truth in the allegations that is being stated about him in his life. If there is a truth in what they are talking about me, Lord, please bring fire upon me. Oh Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is be iniquity in my heart, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause in mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. And David, in Psalm 51, we know, he cried, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. He said, restore the joy of my salvation. Don't look my sin against me. Give me the joy back in my heart. So God is so gracious to David. And may we be like him, that my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in the heart. Let's always come to the Lord in prayer when we are slandered or persecuted. He is the righteous, and he will deal with our enemies. Let us sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High God. And that caused him to rejoice when he sing praises unto God. So let's sing our last hymn. tonight to encourage ourselves in the Lord, like David encouraged himself in the Lord. Let's turn to page 360 in our Christian hymn.